order of service today is the order of matin service, found on page 32. We rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips.
For thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help.
Worship the Lord. We responsively read the introit as printed in the insert in the bulletin. Your name, O Lord, endures forever.
Throughout all ages.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Who stand in the house of the Lord,
in the courts of the house of our God.
Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good.
Sing to his name, for it is pleasant.
Your name, O Lord, endures forever.
Your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages.
For the Lord will vindicate his people
and have compassion on his servants.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading for today comes from Numbers chapter 11, starting at the fourth verse. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept out and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay this burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child, to the land that you swore to give to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers among them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle reading comes from the epistle of St. James, the 5th chapter. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel reading for today is found written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Please rise for reverence of the Gospel. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly, I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you belong to Christ, will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The congregation may be seated as the children's choir comes forward, please. No children's choir. It was a joke. The hymn of the day, please. Thank you.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Meditation for this morning comes from the Gospel reading, especially these last verses. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. You may be seated. Some people believe it is a problem that there is evil in the world. If God is so good, why is there still evil? And to that, God does indeed punish evil and reward good, as he says. But he doesn't do it on our timetable. He punishes evil before it goes too far. We know that he is a God that is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. So, while there is evil, he is patient. His anger waits. And we know that on the last day, that whatever evil remains shall be wiped away. As it says, for everyone will be salted with fire. God's idea of judgment isn't a quick one-time fix. It is an eternal fix. He's got the long game. He sees when evil will multiply endlessly and stops it before it would take over. As in our example, we have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the story kind of starts with God in the form of three men, perhaps the Trinity, goes to visit Abraham. One to tell him that, yes, Isaac will be born to you despite all of your worries. You will have a son. But also, he says that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are so wicked and evil that he is going to destroy them. Well, Abraham knows he has his relative Lot and his family in Sodom. And so Abraham begins to plead, Lord, you are a just God. You wouldn't wipe out the righteous with the evil, would you? Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 50 righteous people? And then he kind of starts auctioneering. God says, yes, I'll take 50. What about 45? Yeah, for 45. 30? Yeah, 30. Abraham keeps getting down until 10. And that's when the conversation concludes. All right. 10. Even that small amount, 10 in two of the largest cities on earth. If there are 10 that are righteous, they will be spared. And so God sends two angels to Sodom, and they come across Lot, and Lot invites them in for the night. But the city, the people of the city, won't do that and do horrific things. They want to do horrific things. So Lot is proved righteous. And when they come into Lot's house and he protects them, he says, we will take you and all your family, all your relatives, get out of the city. It's going to be destroyed. I guess Lot's family wasn't quite more than 10 people, but still, God will not kill the righteous with the unrighteous. So God indeed does pour down fire on the city with the admonition to Lot, do not look back. Well, That works for most of them. Lot's wife finally looks back at the destruction after it has happened and is turned into a pillar of salt. See, salt, as according to the ancient world, is purity. So in a certain sense, Lot's wife was purified. I'm sure that none of them were happy about it. You could say that she was salted with fire. So we get to this statement that salt is good, as we say. Salt is a treasure for the ancient world. Salt preserves food so that, it helps get through the winter so you can keep meat as well. So you can keep food for a future day. It's like insurance, almost. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? We probably don't understand the idea that salt could lose its saltiness because we have pure salt. It's just straight sodium chloride table salt that we have in our houses. But in the ancient world, it wasn't so pure. So if your salt got wet, you'd still end up with a pile of stuff, but it wouldn't be salty anymore because it all dissolved out. So you pretty much end up with a pile of worthless sand. Yay. You just lost a bunch of money. So, how will you make it salty again? Now, it's really how will you make it salty again that Jesus is saying here. For us in our colloquial English, we say you. We'd be like, to get to Fort Wayne, maybe you can go through convoy and up 30. Okay. And we just talk about that as if it applies to everyone, even though we say the word you. But when Jesus is using, but in Greek, the word you means you. You can't use it to just refer to everyone like we can. So he is very much speaking directly to the disciples here. How will you make it salty again? You can't do anything to make it salty again. If the pure has lost its purity, there is nothing left for you to do. Salt as purity has its own history in the Christian church as well. It's a practice which Luther abandoned from the medieval church, as in their numerous ceremonies that had lost all meaning. But there was originally a meaning to this one. It was in the baptism rite, where they would take a bit of salt and put it on the baptized tongue. See, in baptism, you receive that purity. You are judged. The sin is judged. But you are left unscathed. The sin is drowned. And all that's left is salt. The judgment has passed, and all that's left is salt. All that's left is purity, as given to you. So the question is, how will you restore it? No. Where do you find it? If your salt has lost its saltiness and all you have is this worthless pile of sand, you need more salt. There's no other option. And so Jesus is full of purity. Jesus is full of salt. He's a whole salt mine. He is the ocean. You couldn't find a place with more salt in it. He is God. Where else are you going to find such purity? Where else are you going to get it? It's what's given to you in baptism. His salt. Baptism is like going down into the salt mine and digging out some of Christ's salt for you, on your behalf, and it is given to you. The salt mine is open. You got a permit. It's free. It's just sitting there in the ground at this point. And even that one grain of salt that you might get would be enough. Because God has taken a two-prong attack on this. One, all of that unrighteousness has been put to death. The guilt is gone. You can no longer be accused for it. The law has no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only can you no longer be condemned, but even that one grain of salt, that one bit of righteousness, that one small piece of Christ within you would be enough to save you, that God would relent from his disaster. And so, you already have been salted with fire. It's done. There is perhaps a more complete salting with fire in which we will be left totally pure on the last day. But right now, even now, it is done. So we have the last portion of this text. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This especially has to do with the problem that the disciples are having. If you remember from last week, we finished off the gospel reading where they were arguing about who was the greatest. What an edifying topic. And Christ rebukes them quite heavily for their for bickering about such nonsense, really. All of this, the whole passage today, is Christ straightening them out, really. I mean, the admonition at the beginning to say that if you cause even one little believer to sin, it would be better if a millstone were hung around your neck. The disciples have the responsibility of forming the church. If they stray, everyone is in trouble. So they need to be worried about themselves. Have salt in yourselves. It's fine to be concerned about whether your neighbor has salt or not. But it's not a matter, it doesn't concern you how much salt everyone has. How much they've been down in the mine digging. How much God has granted them. Because even one grain is enough. They have been given the gospel same as you. And in that, we can have the last portion to be at peace with one another. We can admonish and encourage each other. But judgment is not ours. It's God's. It's his judgment that matters. His judgment with fire. Even that fire in hell is meant to purify. It purifies the whole world. And so our concern is not with the fire, but with the salt, the purity, with what is left over. That is what we are to meditate on, what we are to concern ourselves with in our daily lives. Salt is what teaches us to interact with one another properly, righteously, with the grace and love of God behind us. We are pure. Our brother in Christ is pure. And all the salt comes right from the cross. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. May the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto eternity. Amen. We now collect our offering.
Let us pray for the whole Christian church and all the people abroad, scattered abroad, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, thine unworthy servants do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We praise thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, that, walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, we may enjoy the testimony of a good conscience, and the hope of thy favor be sustained and comforted under the troubles of this life, and finally, be received into thine everlasting kingdom through thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer unto thee our common supplications for the good estate of thy church throughout the world, that it may be also guided and governed by thy good spirit for all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee. Pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessing. Most heartily we beseech thee, with thy favor, to behold the President and Congress of the United States and all others in authority, and so to replenish them with thy grace, that they may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Prosper all good counsels and all just works, that peace and happiness, truth and righteousness, religion and piety may be established among us throughout all generations. We humbly entreat thee also for all sorts and conditions of men, that thou wouldst be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. May it please thee to preserve all that travel by land or water, to succor all that are in peril or need, and to satisfy the wants of all thy creatures. We also commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. We pray especially for Marvin Grody, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, and Jeff Secor. We also pray, Lord of the Church, that this congregation, as it is in the time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which sustains them unto salvation. Holy Spirit, grant discernment to Reverend Travis Berg, that he would be able to be guided by your word as he seeks to do your will, as he seeks to feed your flock with the word and your blessed sacraments. Hear us, most merciful God, in those our humble requests, which we offer up unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, magnify, direct, and mercifully govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to have you here. Most of the announcements are the bulletin, but I would like to draw your attention that Reverend Berg will be visiting next Sunday, and looks like he'll be here earlier, at 8:15, if you'd like to meet him, as he ponders the two callings that he has now, and that he might get to know the congregation more before he makes his decision. Also, as the purple may have drawn your attention, but Ladies' Aid needs people to help out and sign up for the fall dinner. We'd be glad to have you sign up and help out with that as well. Thank you for being here. Take comfort in the salt that is within you, and have a blessed week.